Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a floor-shaking low-end for old-school jungle and DNB inside Ableton Live 12, using a break lab mindset. That means chopped break energy on top, a super solid sub foundation underneath, and automation doing the heavy lifting so the track keeps moving without turning into mush. The big idea here is simple. We're not just making a bass sound. We're building a low-end system that can survive a real drop, a real club system, and a real DJ arrangement. So if you've ever had a bass line that sounded huge in solo, but fell apart the second the drums came in, this is the fix. First thing, set your project around 170 to 174 BPM, and get the drums working before you obsess over the bass. Load in your chopped break, then add a kick and snare anchor if needed. For this style, the snare on 2 and 4 still matters a lot, even if the break is doing most of the talking. Keep your session organized. Put your breaks in one group, your support drums in another, your bass in its own group, and any FX or atmospheres in a separate folder or group as well. That makes automation and mixing way easier later. On the drum bus, throw on a utility if needed and make sure you've got headroom. Don't let the drums clip before the bass is even in the picture. Now for the sub. Create a MIDI track and load operator. We want a clean sine-based sub, nothing fancy yet. Use oscillator as a sine wave, keep the filter open or off, and set the amp envelope with a fast attack and a sensible release. If you want tight, punchy notes, keep the release fairly short. If you want a more legato old-school glide, give it a little more release, and a touch of portamento. The sub should feel like it's performing, not just looping. That's a big difference. In jungle and old-school DNB, tiny timing changes matter. So once the pattern is written, try nudging a few notes just a few ticks earlier or later. Not the kick-snare relationship, though. Keep that solid. Let the sub breeze around the drums, not fight them. For the actual notes, keep it simple. Root note, octave jump, maybe a flattened fifth for a short answer phrase. You do not need a busy bass line to get weight. In fact, often the heaviest bass lines are the ones that leave space. Try writing a phrase that hits on beat one, then leaves room for the snare and the break to speak, then comes back with a short answer. That call and response feel is pure DNB energy. Next, build the Reese or mid-bass layer. Duplicate the MIDI track or create a second instrument rack, then load Waveedable or another operator instance. This layer is where the character lives. Use two slightly detuned saws or saw and square blend. Keep the detune moderate, not ridiculous. The point is movement and grit, not wobble for the sake of wobble. In Waveedable, use a low-pass filter so the top stays controlled. Start the cutoff somewhere in the low-mid range, depending on how dark you want it. Add a bit of drive if needed, and use an LFO to create pulse or movement. Sync it to 1/8 or 1/16 if you want that rhythmic breathing, or leave it freer if you want a more organic drift. And here's the key thing. The Reese should never steal the sub's job. High pass the mid layer so it gets out of the true low end. A good starting point is somewhere around 80 to 120 Hz, depending on the sound. On the sub track, keep it mono. Utility, width at 0 if you need to be strict. The sub owns the physical weight, and the Reese owns the attitude. Once both layers are playing together, group them into a bass group. On that group, use a EQ8, utility, saturator, and maybe a glue compressor if the layers need to feel more unified. Don't overdo it. A small amount of saturation can be amazing here, because it helps the bass read on smaller speakers and gives the low end a bit more density. But if you crank it too hard, you'll lose definition fast. Now we get into the part that really makes this lesson work. Automation. Automation is what stops the bass from feeling static. In this style, a good bass patch is only half the story. The movement over time is what makes it feel like a record. Automate the Reese filter cutoff, the saturator drive, maybe the utility gain for section changes, and use scent automation for delay or echo throws on transitions. A strong approach is to keep the intro darker and more filtered. Then, just before the drop, open the filter slightly and maybe add a small delay throw on the last note. When the drop hits, snap it back darker for impact. Then over the next couple of bars, let it open gradually. That contrast is what makes the drop feel bigger without adding more notes or more layers. A great rule here is automate less, but automate with intention. One well-placed cutoff move will usually do more than 5 constantly moving knobs. The genre rewards control. Random movement might sound exciting in solo, but phrase-based movement sounds like a finished track. Also think in 2-bar and 4-bar questions and answers. For example, bars 1 to 4 might be dark and tight. Bars 5 to 8 can open a bit more. Then a short drum fill or bass dropout can reset the energy before the next section. That phrase logic is important. It makes the arrangement feel musical instead of just technical. Now let's talk about the rhythm of the bass against the break. Don't write the bass in isolation. Solo the drums and bass together and listen to how they interact. If the break is busy, pull the bass back. If the break simplifies, that's your moment to let the bass speak more. This conversation between the break and the bass is the heart of jungle and old school DNB. Try a simple rhythmic cell, bass on beat 1, a gap, then a response after the snare, then a held note into the next bar. Maybe a pickup into bar 2 or bar 4. That's enough to create motion without crowding the drums. If you want a more modern pressure, you can introduce a tighter repeated motif later in the drop, but keep the sub more stable than the mids. Now let's do some bus shaping. On the bass group, a light glue compressor can help glue the sub and res together. Keep the attack a bit slower so the punch comes through, and use a modest ratio. You only want a couple dB of gain reduction at most. If the mid layer feels too spiky, a little drum bus can help, but be careful. Too much crunch and the whole thing can turn harsh fast, especially if the break is already gritty. At this point, keep checking in mono. This matters a lot in old-school style low-end. If the groove falls apart when you collapse the stereo image, something is too wide, too facey, or too dependent on the res for fundamental weight, the sub should still feel strong and present by itself. Also check your low-end at low volume. If it still feels solid quietly, that usually means it's built properly. If it disappears, the sound is probably relying too much on loudness instead of good harmonic support. For transition work, use filtered delay or echo throws on the last note of a phrase. Keep feedback low to moderate, and filter the delay so it doesn't smear the sub region. Another classic move is to automate the res filter upward for a bar or two before a drop, then pull it back down on impact. That simple contrast can make the drop feel massive. If you want to go a bit further, try automating note length, not just filter cutoff. Shorter notes in one section can make the groove feel tighter and more aggressive. Longer notes in the next section can give you more weight and drag. You can also use clip envelopes inside the MIDI clip, so each hit gets a slightly different feel without needing huge track automation moves. A very effective progression trick is to create a second version of your bass rack for the later part of the tune. Make it a little brighter, a little dirtier, maybe a little less sustained, and with just a touch more stereo in the mids. Then switch to that later for your second drop or variation. Same notes, different energy. That's a classic way to keep a track moving forward. And if the loop starts feeling right, resample it. Freeze and flatten, or record the output to audio, then chop it like a break. That's a very jungle move and it can lead to some great switch-up fills. Sometimes the best bass variation comes from treating the bass as audio material, not just MIDI. A few common mistakes to avoid here. Don't make the sub too complex. Don't let the res own the low end, don't overwiden the bass, and don't automate everything just because you can. Also, don't crush the bass with saturation before you've balanced it. Get the levels right first, then add character. And always leave headroom. DNB low end needs space to hit hard. Here's a simple practice goal. Build a 4-bar bass loop at 172 BPM using one sine sub and one res layer. Use no more than 4 different note lengths. Add a filter move over the 4 bars, and include one transition effect in the last bar. Then loop it, test in mono, and adjust until the bass feels heavy but the kick and snare still cut through. The real success test is this. If the bass sounds like it belongs inside the drum edit instead of sitting on top of it, you're doing it right. So remember the core formula: clean mono sub, controlled mid-range movement, automation with intent, and bass phrasing that works with a break. That's the low-end language of old-school jungle and DNB. Get that conversation right, and the whole track starts to feel alive.